Welcome to episode 320 of Fly Away. That's 320. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna, Sandy, and George. Laissez le bon temps rouler is the unofficial catchphrase. I think it's actually maybe official, but for New Orleans, Louisiana. The party atmosphere is a bit dampened due to COVID-19, but New Orleans is still on the map if you want to go. Even though Mardi Gras has been canceled for 2021, there are other things that can be done. So let's get started talking about them. So I am familiar with New Orleans, but only vaguely. So we're going to sort of stumble through this, but I certainly have enjoyed it. The first time I went was Mardi Gras, and I hated it because I don't like crowds. But the second time I went, I had a great time. So let's first talk about New Orleans. Everybody thinks about the French Quarter, but what are the other, Donna, can you maybe go through some of these other sort of neighborhoods and give us a general feel for what they're like?
The big ones, I love staying in the Garden District. That's actually where I personally stay when I go. It is a little quieter. You can take the streetcar into Bourbon Street in about 20 minutes, so it's perfect distance. And that's where all the big houses are, those really big Southern plantation style houses that you can tour. So that's my personal favorite, is the Garden District, just because the crowds aren't there. But you've got the downtown, which is where the Superdome is. You've got the Ninth Ward, which is a lot of culture and history. And then you've got the Warehouse District, which is the new up-and-coming place. That's where all the art galleries are, and the World War II Museum's there. And then there's some, Treme is also a very big music scene area. So those are the big neighborhoods that you want to hit when you're in the New Orleans area.
So it's interesting because that we did a food tour in the Garden District when we were there a few years ago. And you mentioned a lot of art being in one of the other districts, but there's a ton of art there. I remember going into a couple of art galleries there. So is that more just art is all over New Orleans? And
it is. But the Warehouse District is where all the galleries are. That's where they're kind of concentrated. And they wanted to make that a almost like a Soho kind of neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
That's I think that's kind of the vibe they were going for. It's kind of artsy. It's kind of hipster, you know.
I feel like our food tour bled over into some other districts too. You know, like that last street we ended up on that had, we did go into an art gallery there, but there were a bunch of little shops down there. A lot of like thrift store type places. It had I wish I could remember what it was. It was a famous street though, because one of my friends recognized the street we were on whenever I said it.
I actually thought that was the main drag of the Garden District. So, but
oh, maybe it was.
And again, I don't know my neighborhoods very well. So, like, where are the vampires?
The French Quarter.
Well, they're in the French Quarter.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Or the graveyards, the cemeteries.
Yes, the cemetery tour and the voodoo.
So let's talk about the French Quarter a little bit, because that is sort of what everybody thinks of. And I think even George has been to the French Quarter.
I have been.
You party animal. Yeah. So I've been to the French Quarter during Mardi Gras, but I haven't been any other time. So can you like share some insight on what the French Quarter is like when it's not Mardi Gras, especially since there isn't a Mardi Gras next year? Is it the same? Is it always like that?
Never been during Mardi Gras because I don't want to go with all those crowds.
You're smart.
I've been a couple times. The time not to go is Thanksgiving weekend because there's nobody there. Absolutely
lovely,
nobody.
Actually.
I mean, if you're going to have a at least a little bit of a good time, that's not the weekend to go. But I also really like Jean Lafitte's blacksmith bar, which is way at the end, and it's usually very quiet and very subdued and dark, and you can go in there and have a drink and actually hear yourself think.
I like that.
Yes.
That's nice.
It's been a couple years since we had our conference there, so I'm trying to I'm trying to bring it all back, but Donna, didn't we walk around the French
Quarter? Oh, of course. Of course. Because the best hamburger joint is actually in the Pride block where all the gay clubs are on Bourbon mm-hmm. Street. That's the best hamburger joint in the city.
I remember, didn't you have to get the beignets?
Of course. You can get those at Cafe du Monde, which is down on the waterfront, right mm-hmm. in Jackson Square across from St. Louis Cathedral. Or the other place to get them is Cafe Beignet. Usually it's not quite as touristy, and you usually get the locals that go there just because they don't want to wait in the tourist line.
Yeah. So talk about Café du Monde and that experience, because I have never done it because I'm afraid of crowds, but I do love some beignets.
Go on a weekday.
Okay. And is it like you line up down the block and it moves quick, or like is that how it happens though? You line up down the block and it moves quick?
Yes. Well, every time I've been in there, there hasn't been a line because I go on a weekday, you know, mid-morning after all the people have gone back to already gone to work. And if you go there, you basically sit down at a table and they have chicory coffee and hot chocolate and beignets. That's pretty much what's on the menu. And you go in there and the tables are all sticky because, you know, it's just overflowing with powdered sugar.
Dog.
But they're so yummy and they're so hot and they come right out of the fryer and they, you know, are covered in powdered sugar. Just don't breathe while you're eating the powdered sugar.
And wear a black shirt.
Or wear a black shirt because you'll be covered. Make sure you wear white. But yes, it's so delicious. And if you're on a diet, New Orleans is not the place to be.
Actually,
this was another good seafood town, I remember.
Yeah.
With the food being.
Well, it's not just that. There's so many other things.
Yes. We were at the Hilton waterfront, and that there's a legendary oyster restaurant there. So we had the oysters Dragos. There. And, yeah. And it's, it's the kind of oysters that I have always liked. Sandy has introduced me to the sort of roasted oysters just by themselves, but the, you know, covered in blue cheese or covered in butter. And, you know, yeah, that's how I've always loved them. And that it's so good. And that was actually pretty easy to just go in and sit down at. It really wasn't difficult. Of course, it helped that we were staying in that hotel, but it was pretty easy. But then we ate at an Italian restaurant that was, I don't even know where it was because I was taken there. So, and it was so good with a chef's table restaurant in the back. A chef's table room in the back. It was really outstanding. The food, yeah. I feel like New Orleans is like a foodie dream.
It is. There's a great sandwich shop called Mother's that's fantastic. The food is excellent. And then if you're into the po' boys, which you can get seafood there, it's called Johnny's Po' Boys. That is the traditional po' boy that you can get. And it's just a block or two away from St. Louis Cathedral.
That was like the first thing we had on our foodie tour was the po' boy.
Yeah. I don't think it wasn't at Johnny's though. I'm pretty sure it was someplace else.
No. And it was like half of one, but it was a pretty historic place. It had been there a while.
Yeah. That's the thing is. And then of course you've got all the big chefs Emeril Lagasse has a place, Paul Prudhomme, you know, so you get the everyday stuff, the po' boys and the sandwiches and the those kinds of things, but then you can also do your fine dining as well. So,
and I do think I'll make a plug here, but I think it's so important in New Orleans to try and eat local at least for one or two of your meals. And because there are so many great restaurateurs that you don't know outside of New Orleans, it's so easy to just be dragged into the big names or the celebrity chefs or whatever, but, or the big hotels and their restaurants. But my cousin actually owns a restaurant that has been, you know, there forever. And actually, my cousin owns it now. My cousin used to own it, but a different cousin, he passed away this year. And his brother has now got an interest in the restaurant with some other investors to keep it in the family. But it was not owned by him originally, but it has a long history. And you can go in there and they can tell you the history. Like, they can tell you who's been there and why it's so so important to that neighborhood. So it's so key to just sort of duck your head into almost where we had those po-boys. That was a very unassuming kind of like neighborhood mm-hmm. restaurant. It wasn't, yeah.
Ordering from the window.
Yeah. There yeah. wasn't anything that said, this is the best po-boy in town or anything. It was just a very unassuming kind of, and that was a hidden, you know, like a secret food tour. So they tried to get you mm-hmm. out of the way and to the non.
That's what I like about those foodie tours is that you will, yeah, you're going to go to the off the beaten path. You're going to try the more, I mean, they were all local places that we went to yeah. and they were all really good.
And right now, takeout is what's going on. So even, you know, even if you want to go to New Orleans, you can still get the takeout and go sit on the waterfront and have your po' boy and enjoy and just watch the seagulls.
So, Donna, you did a brunch that my mom knew
about.
The
Court of Two Sisters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk about that. That's like a famous
thing. It is. It's been there... I want to say since like the 20s or the 30s, they've always got live jazz. They have a buffet where you can go in and you can try different New Orleans dishes. Very Cajun. Lots of fresh vegetables and fresh fruits and things like that. Very typical New Orleans cuisine. Lots of desserts. Too many desserts. So, of course, I had to try them all. It is a little pricey. I think I want to say it was about $50 or $60 a person for brunch. And you do need to make reservations because trying to get in just as a walk-up is impossible. But I would definitely, if that's one of the few things that you want to do, definitely go do that. I don't know how they're running it now with buffets pretty much being kind of by the wayside. I'm sure most of it is you tell them what you want, they serve it to you. So it's more like a cafeteria style.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about what New Orleans in general is doing with COVID. I know that my parents did this, like, drive to Texas thing in February before things really shut down, and they got back right when it was all happening, but they went to New Orleans about a week before Mardi Gras, and they stayed in like a bed and breakfast somewhere, you know. I don't think they did much in town though, but right after that is when Mardi Gras, and then I know that Louisiana kind of had a hotspot situation. I haven't really heard. Do you guys know what's going on right now?
I have a friend who works in the French Quarter, and he's been going to work, and he'll post things every once in a while. There was a violent incident there just recently that was all over the news, and it was like right down the block from where he was at the time. I'm going to try and look him up here and see. I should have invited him on the podcast. I'm having regrets.
I just wonder, I mean, I feel like, you know, we talked about Miami and how, you know, the things they've done. I wish that we had been here recently so we could really say, because it's such a cool city. And once again, like the history of this city.
But that's the great thing about it is that you can just walk around. It's a very walking friendly city. So even if you can't do some of the things that you would normally do, you can still walk around. You can still do some of like the swamp tours and things like that, the kayaking tours, because those are individualized. I know they're doing some tours as well, but again, it's very small groups. Mm-hmm.
I think for me, because I also did like a city bus tour when I was there, the not to be missed thing for me besides the food tour was the cemetery tour. Mm-hmm. That was awesome because you can get it in a lot of different ways. Like our foodie tour was supposed to actually end with a little bit of a cemetery tour, and it didn't end up.
We got drama instead.
But that was cool. And that was unique. And that was something that I knew nothing about before I went and did that. So I'm not going to spoil it for anybody who hasn't done it, but that's like a That's a such a quintessential New Orleans must do, I think. You know,
it well, is that kind of ties into the voodoo as well. So.
Yeah.
And the vampires.
It is, and I said this on last week's episode too. It's a very unique American city, and there are a lot of unique American cities, but it has such a unique history and a unique culture that and the cemeteries in New Orleans, it's so interesting on so many levels. I mean, they're old. There's some amazing people buried there. The way that they bury their dead because of how close they are to sea level is just interesting. I mean, there's so many aspects that are interesting. So, I want to change the subject a little bit because, as you said, the cemetery tour, I thought you were actually going a different direction with things that you must see. And the Mardi Gras world, the Mardi Gras Museum is really interesting. And then Donna also mentioned a World War II museum, which I didn't even know was there. So first, the Mardi Gras Museum.
Oh, I love Mardi Gras world.
Yeah. And is it open right now? We really were not prepared for this episode.
I heard that it was. They had reopened. Of course, they're not doing all the floats for next year because they've canceled Mardi Gras. But you can still kind of go in and wander around and actually see the floats. One of the great things I love about the thing that they do with the floats is that everything is recycled. So it's renovated, it's recycled. So say you want daisies on your float. Well, they did daisies 10 years ago. And so they're going to bring the daisies in and they take them off of this float and put it on your float. And then, oh, you like this head of Zeus? Well, let's take it off of this one and let's put it over here. And so they really take recycling and upcycling to a whole different world.
It's interesting because when you go to Mardi Gras and you have these different crews, you sort of assume that everybody works so independently, but they don't really. I mean, they're all sort of working together at the same time. And it's sort of interesting how that whole community breaks up. And Sandy did just confirm for us that they are open as of the recording of this episode. So there may be special circumstances, but that would be a great way also to get your Mardi Gras on without getting your Mardi Gras on, since it's not on next year. You could still plan the trip and at least, it's certainly not the same as experiencing it, but one might argue it might be better and certainly safer. Yes.
For the people who don't like the crowd.
Yes, I'm thinking that maybe that should have been the way that I did it. Now, tell us about this World War II museum, because I don't know why there's a World War II museum in New Orleans. Not that there isn't any right to be, but why?
Well, there really wasn't one before. So they built one. Actually, it's funny because one of the big things is the funds came from Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg.
Oh, okay.
So it was actually after Saving Private Ryan, they decided that they needed their own museum. And so they kind of pulled everything together and built one in New Orleans. And that's where some of the funds came from. Those two people to actually get it built.
Yeah. So on my city bus tour, we didn't go to the World War II Museum, but our bus driver, he made special mention of it and said that it is a very hands-on, very cool, informative museum that even children would find a lot of interest in. So it's kind of been on my list when I go back to New Orleans to check it out. I didn't have time the first time I went.
Well, one of the other things is there's also, it has a, New Orleans has a very strong battle history. It's been part of the Civil War. It's been part of, the War of 1812. You know, the Battle of New Orleans actually happened there. And so there's several national park areas that you can also visit that would basically put you out, away from crowds. And you can hit a national park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, check it off your list.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that sort of ties in. I mean, the fact that these movie personalities built this museum there, it should be said that New Orleans has a very active movie business going. Yes. I mean, obviously you've seen lots of movies that are filmed there, but there's lots of things that are filmed there that you don't even know about. And actually, my cousin is an art director as well, the one who now owns part of a restaurant, and worked on the American Horror Show and like a lot of things that I think actually Django, is that what it's called? The
Django Unchained.
Yeah, Unchained. Yeah.
Elizabeth, are you familiar with, there's one of those like superhero TV shows that's about teenagers that I feel like you would
is
know
it
this
the Umbrella
one,
but Kristen, Academy like, or is it the
not Umbrella Academy.
I know the one you're talking about with all the misfit Hollywood, I mean the misfit rich kids and their parents are in a cult. Is that the one you mean?
No, not that one. Although that one's in New Orleans or not. This one is about a runaway girl and a boy, and they are like yin and yang, and they can't touch each other because they make things explode when they do.
I haven't heard that.
You know what I'm talking about? She's like living in churches, some church in New Orleans, and there's voodoo history, and oh my God, I can't believe you don't know this because it's like a Marvel thing. I'll have to ask Chris about it.
He definitely
George,
knows
you might want to.
There's lots of vampire ones that happen there.
Yes.
Witches.
Yeah. Yeah. The vampire culture there. And let's not forget The Princess and the Frog. I guess that didn't actually happen anymore.
I know, because we're getting a new ride based on
but,
that.
The vampire culture. So Anne Rice actually lives in, I believe, still in New Orleans, right? So that's part of
she
why.
She has a house there.
Yes. Yeah. So.
In the Garden District.
Well, there you go. There you go. It's the place to be. So at any other highlights you want us to talk about that maybe people don't normally think of New Orleans for?
Well, the thing is if you have access to a vehicle, there are other things that you can do that are outside the city. There are lots of plantation tours. You can go to the Tabasco factory and, you know, learn how they make Tabasco.
That's
lots of swamp tours. So you can go back into the backwoods near Houma and go out where the bayous are and see the alligators and the snakes and all the fun stuff.
That's very cool. That's very cool.
So this is something I haven't mentioned to you guys, but this may or may not happen. It's just something we started talking about last week. Owen and Ellie for their graduation trip are now thinking that maybe it would be fun to drive across the country, and New Orleans is one of the places on the list of where we would have to go. So if you were gonna like drive across country, Donna, and you were gonna stop in New Orleans for maybe two nights, maybe three nights, maybe like show up, spend the night, and then have like two full days there, and you had 18-year-olds, what would you suggest? Besides the cemetery and vampire tour, because that's for sure.
I would do definitely maybe a carriage tour, because those guides that actually take the carriages around the French Quarter actually know quite a bit, and they can point you in the right directions about which restaurants you should go to, which clubs you should visit. It's a good introduction to the city. The other thing
and when you say you stay in the Garden District and take the streetcar, like how late does it run?
It runs till I think 3 in the morning.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So New Orleans is kind of a late night kind of place.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and usually the prices are a little lower to stay in the Garden District. The streetcar cost, I want to say $2. I mean, it's,
yeah, I think we got on
for a day pass. So, I mean, it's really reasonable. But it's a nice place to get away from it all, just to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then you can go back into it. And when you get tired, it's like, you know what? I need to go where it's quiet.
Definitely go.
Yeah.
Definitely go get beignets with them.
Oh,
like if you can go to Café du Monde. I mean, that's, I think, so legendary. And who doesn't like beignets, right? I mean,
yes.
Are they vegetarian? Because Ellie wants, you know.
I don't know, actually. That's a good question. I bet they're not.
Well, they don't
probably
have to be
not.
Okay. Well, if it doesn't have to be vegan, then they might be okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They're too good to not have dairy in them. No offense to my vegan friends, but yeah, I'd be hard pressed to. Not the original ones anyway. They may offer vegan ones though, but again, doesn't matter. So,
but honestly, you can just walk around. There's lots to see, lots to do, you know, eat, drink, be merry. Mm-hmm.
And even when you're 18, although I think the drinking age in Louisiana is still 18, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it 18 anywhere?
No, they actually tried to do that, and the federal government yanked their funding for their highways and their interstates, and they caved.
See, that's how old I am. That's what I thought.
So
yeah, that's like
old. Yeah, yes.
It's 21 everywhere.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, so I will tell you this, Sandy, the drive from Birmingham to New Orleans is super boring, and the drive from Atlanta to Birmingham is super boring. So if you can do that maybe on your way back or a different direction so you don't have to take 20, because it's super boring.
I mean, it's like a 12-hour drive, it says, from Raleigh. Yeah.
And it takes 2 days.
I can do 12 hours in one day. I used to drive from Myrtle Beach to Pittsburgh.
You haven't done this 12 hours, trust me.
No.
You can stop in Birmingham, though. There's some interesting stuff in Birmingham. It's a pretty little city, too, actually.
I need to find some interesting
stuff. We stopped
in
Atlanta. You know,
Birmingham has a lot. Atlanta would be good, too. Birmingham has a lot of civil rights history as well. Or you might be able to zig up to Huntsville and do, like, rocket ship stuff. But anyway, we digress. That's not New Orleans. So with that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly!